Good morning.
Oh, Susan, you're back. Are
I'm
you better?
back. I am feeling quite a bit better, yes. Thank you.
That's great.
Some non-COVID summer cold hit me at the end of last week. It was terrible, but I am glad to be back. It's better last week than this week because students come back to school this week. We'll give it another minute. All right, I guess we'll get started. Here's the agenda for anybody that wants to get there with us. So for administrative stuff, we have WolfCon planning that we would like to do. Do we want to do that today, Cornelia? I think we'll try to,
We
we can do
need
it
to.
either the beginning or the end of the meeting.
Doesn't matter to me. I don't really. I mean, my thing is not a full meeting length by any
Okay.
means.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, why don't we let you go first, David, and then we will do the WolfCon planning for our RA SIG session afterwards, so people can be thinking about any sort of topics that would benefit from being in person. We will have a hybrid meeting at WolfCon. But if you have ideas, start brewing on those now and we'll talk about them after we do recalls.
I will
For
just,
go ahead.
I'll just say the remote storage meeting conflicts with the RA meeting there at the same time. So some of us will, assuming that the remote storage meeting moves forward, some of us will have to be at that.
Yeah, I was gonna
Okay.
say I need to touch base with the people that were in the remote storage group and see if they still want to meet. And then the step is free. I have a feeling that I might have them pull the remote storage meeting off the WolfCon schedule. But because I don't think, I'm not sure if there's anything else really to get in depth about.
Right. I know it's there's so little time, it's so easy to overlap the things that people want to go to both, right? Well, before I think the Fee Fine meeting was overlapping with one of the RA thing. We were like, it's the same people. We can't all be there at the same time. So that got fixed. So it does look a little bit better, at least.
I should say, by fix it, I mean implement our brilliant ideas for fixing remote storage. It's like we don't need to talk
Oh,
about it anymore. Just do it.
just do it, right?
Magically come up with the resources and get it done.
Exactly. All right. So for upcoming meetings, the next couple weeks, we are not meeting next. We're not meeting on Thursday. We have some inclination that a fee fine group will start meeting on the opposite Thursdays of the opposite the ticket review meetings. But we'll wait until after the fee fine session at WolfCon to get kind of a jump start on that. I got that right, Tom?
Yep.
Awesome. Okay, so with that off meeting off Thursday, we won't have anything this week. The following week, Labor Day is Monday, September 1st. So we will be not meeting that day. It's not on the calendar any longer. I think Cornelia has already removed it. Thank you. And then next Thursday, the 4th, we are set to continue ticket review for the Volaris tickets, which you guys made a lot of progress on Thursday. Great job. Saw a lot of closures. That's what we like. It was a lot of tickets reviewed and a lot of closures. So perfect. Awesome. Any other things you have, Cornelia, for upcoming meetings? I get anything wrong? Okay. Then let me hand it over to David and you can talk to us about recall behavior, what you'd like to discuss.
Sure, absolutely. So these are both, I mean, again, this is not by any means a full agenda, but in our local environment, we have found a couple of somewhat edge cases towards how recalls are being managed, and I just wanted to get it on everyone's radar and, think about what the impact might be on everyone's workflows. So the first of them is related to the fact that patrons with expiration dates have their due dates truncated to that expiration date under all circumstances. It's hard-coded currently in Twofolio. What that means is that if someone has an expiration date in the past and you recall an item from them, for example, because it is needed for course reserves, it will automatically put that new due date also into the past, up to and including immediately aging it to lost if it's old enough. So someone will go from having potentially a due date in the future to having a due date because the loan was made when they did not have an expiration date, or the expiration date was in the future. That expiration date has changed for whatever reason. You recall something, and suddenly something is due 2 months ago and has been billed as lost. Seems perverse to me. But I just wanted to get everyone's take on that and see whether we thought that that was behavior that we needed to document, felt should be documented in a JIRA. As something that we might want to eventually have changed, or whether folks are generally comfortable with that behavior. This is not something that comes up very often for us simply because we don't do a lot of recalls. But it is always confusing to everyone whenever it happens. Both staff are confused by it, the patron is definitely confused and upset. It just seems odd.
So, David, I have a question about. So, these are presumably patrons that, especially if it's in the past, these are folks who are no longer actively affiliated with the institution or.
Generally speaking, that's probably correct. So bear in mind too, Chicago uses fixed due dates, right? But also we have multiple faculty who come in and out, not a lot of them, but we have faculty, particularly at the law school, who sort of come in and out of the feed. And so there we're constantly trying to manage those accounts where they will suddenly have an expiration date in the feed because they're not teaching that quarter, but they're teaching the following quarter, and we try to catch those and bridge those as well as we can, but inevitably some of them slip through. Faculty who are moving to emeritus status frequently have a time period where they have an expiration date in the university feed before it's reported to us that they are in fact moving to emeritus status and that we need to extend their privileges. Students graduate, but they've been accepted to a master's program in the coming fall. I mean, there's all kinds of sort of circumstances under which, but even for someone who has truly is no longer affiliated with the university or no longer affiliated with the library, and has ex an expiration date, it does still seem strange to say hello, to give for their first communication to be, hello, this thing that was due is now due 3 weeks ago and you owe us $150. And also here's four notices we're going to send you all at the same time because, Folio isn't smart enough to realize it maybe shouldn't send every single notice the second that, it's just, it's time travel. It's weird.
No, I totally agree that it's, I'm just
But
trying to
it's an outlier. It's
understand.
definitely an edge case.
It is, but I'm curious from the group what folks are think would be a desirable expected behavior because we all have expired patrons who have things checked out that could be recalled at any time, assuming we do recalls. So I'm curious what the desired behavior would be because that's the way we will need to write up the ticket. It's not, I mean, it is a bug, but because the expiration date is overriding the due date of the recall. And so we need to figure out how to exempt that and say, in this instance of a recall, either disregard, well, not disregard the expiration date, but what do we want it to do? Like, what would be the due date? What notices and the notice, the due date is what's triggering all those notices. So we have to figure out the due date that we want, and then that will inform what notices go out and that sort of thing.
There is a in the loan policies, and this maybe gets into just how recalls are handled more generally, right, as just a subset of the loan policy. But the recall settings do have a minimum guaranteed loan period for recalled items that can be set by the loan policy. That would be sort of my assumption, is that you should follow that regardless of expiration date. That if you've said that everybody who gets an item recalled gets 7 days or 2 days or whatever it is, that should be the logic. But I am curious as to what others think.
We don't do recalls, but maybe you remember the case I talked about where the at the moment of the loan, the due date was put in the past because the patron was about to expire. So this whole truncated due date with expiration date is not thought through to the end, I'm afraid.
So, David, what if they've already been billed, but then because of the recall, they're getting another week, for example.
So I can't remember. I don't believe you can. Can you recall something that is billed as lost or aged lost? Does Folio even let you do that? We wouldn't do that by policy because the assumption is obviously the thing is gone. Why would we try to get it back? But I'm not sure that it would let you. That I'd have to test.
I don't believe you can. I think you can place a hold on an item that has been marked as lost, but there's the aged loss status marked loss,
You
and
mean
then
marked as missing?
I'm sorry. Yes, yeah, there's aged loss marked as missing, and there's another loss status. I thought
Declared lost.
declared lost. Thank you. I think you can place a hold on those, but I don't think you can do a recall.
Looks like no, cannot be recalled, placed on hold, or page for age to lost, declared lost.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Because those are both, you typically build on the patron's account. I know it's not it's not a universal sync, but yeah.
Missing can be placed on hold, but not recalled to page.
Right, because missing doesn't have a loan on it anymore. Or perhaps ever. Missing means we couldn't find it, but it is not loaned to anyone. Age to lost and declared lost both mean the person has had it for too long.
Well, if to get the notices to behave correctly, the due date has to be in the future, then it seems like the simplest solution is to get that to happen.
Yeah, it seems to me it shouldn't be due any time before the current date. And even the current, if you made it due today, like when the notice goes out of recall, that even seems kind of like, return this thing immediately.
Yeah, it seems like we have a setting for this is the minimum amount of time we want somebody to have a recalled item.
We could use that.
And that would be it. But I see Olga's hand.
Yeah.
We do use recalls, and it doesn't happen, I don't think, often for us that person could expire and still have things out. It does obviously happen, but just not too often that we will recall. We usually don't recall these items. Let's say person registered in the semester and they borrowed an item, it's due at the end of the semester, and then they dropped all the classes. So we do manually check from time to time if for dropped students, and let's say we discard that person. So we truncate their expiration date to today or tomorrow, but item is still checked out until the end of the semester. So our next step is to contact that person, not to recall it, but to contact that person and ask them to return the item. So it's a very manual workaround. And it's nice to have something automatic. My only concern, we do rely on the due date on the end of the semester. Everyone expires. All materials should not go past that date. So if the feature introduced that they always have, let's say, 3 days or whatever, then there is a potential that items will go beyond the end of the semester date, and then it's difficult to recover. It's more difficult to recover them because they get their grades and they move on and sometimes even leave the country.
Well, there's also a setting, allow recalls to extend due dates for overdue loans, yes or no? So if you said no to that, and if you, or if you just changed your minimum guaranteed loan period, just, it feels like the way to control it is in the recall management settings for whatever your local needs are, rather than having it hard coded to the patron expiration date.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So does that sound, David, like something that makes sense, that we'll just, you make it the minimum?
Yeah.
I'm trying
that would
to think
make
if
a
there
lot
are...
of sense to us, but I mean, again, are we, you know, with the fixed due dates, I realize we're an outlier with that as well. I mean, not totally, but it does, you know, make it more likely to happen for us. So that's why I wanted to hear other people's thoughts.
Right. But if it's already overdue, it shouldn't change it necessarily. Does it send out a notice if the thing is overdue already?
Yeah, I think so, because it's gonna change, right? Something could be overdue but not have any overdue fines.
Yeah.
And once it's recalled, it will now have overdue fines.
Potentially. Right.
And it will, and it can change. It can extend. I mean, that's why there's that setting there, because that's in fact what we do, because we have fixed due dates and no overdue fines, except for when something is recalled. We always want to extend the due date in the case of a recall by that 7 days, because we're saying this thing is like, it was overdue, but you just need to return it. Now it's overdue and you owe us $5 a day for every day it was overdue. We don't want that to happen. So that's why we
in
use
the past,
setting where
right.
You're right. Exactly. Yeah. In the past. So whereas in this case, you know, for us, the fixed due dates are, you know, they're guidelines more than rules.
Yes.
But you certainly could set it to not allow due dates, and you would just have to then know in your notices. Well, that is the other thing. So because recalls inherit, I mean, this is the larger issue, right? Recalls inherit both the notice policy and template of their parent loan policy. Patrons will get one notice when the item is recalled that needs to include any information about what has changed, right? This item has been recalled and is now subject to overdue fines of $5 a day or whatever. All of the other notices that they will get will be just what they would have gotten for the standard loan, which is also, and actually in my mind, a bigger problem, but one that I've talked about enough in these meetings. So we don't need to go into it other than to think about, you know, does this, you know, at a certain point, are we doing so much with request management that it needs to be not part of the loan policy, but a separate thing? But I don't know about that. I mean, that's a much bigger change.
Lawrence?
Oh, hi. Sorry, but I don't quite understand what you're meaning by the using a minimum guaranteed loan period. If something has been checked out for 6 months and the minimum guaranteed period is 7 days, it wouldn't make any difference. Minimum guaranteed loan period just doesn't apply if the item has already been out for longer than that period of time. If you're talking about having a different setting for.
Is that true, Lawrence? Have you tested that?
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's how it's supposed to work. It only applies if the person hasn't had the book out for that period of time. If the minimum guarantee loan period is, say, 7 days, and if the person's had the book out for 3 days and there's a recall placed, then it means even if the recall period is 1 day, they're guaranteed to get another 4 days with it. But if you've already had it for 7 days or more, then the minimum guarantee loan period of 7 days doesn't make any difference. That thing won't apply anymore if you already had it for that period of time.
Except that then there's also, right, so there's four settings under request management, right? There's recall return interval, which says how long is it? Then there's the minimum guaranteed loan period. Then there's allow recalls to extend due dates, and then there's alternate recall return interval. So at Chicago, for example, the recall return interval is 7 days. And the minimum guaranteed loan period for recalled items is also 7 days. So I think in that context, and we do allow recalls to extend due dates for overdue loans. So I think in that context, that combination of settings, from a practical standpoint, if you recall something that is overdue, it is then due 7 days in the future. Because the recall return interval is 7 days, and the minimum guaranteed loan period only goes into account if it would be, I guess, less than that recall return interval. If you see what I'm saying? Those two policies work in tandem with each other.
Okay.
So like if it's overdue, you know, it's already had a loan period for 7 days, but there is the first and foremost setting is the recall return interval. How long does someone have to return something before, once it has been returned? which is whatever you set that to. I mean, we would have to test it. I mean, I think I know that that was the intention of that setting. And the intention of the secondary setting was, in fact, to say, well, if they've only had it, for some shorter period of time than the recall return interval. So, right, like, say your recall return interval is 3 days, but you want somebody to, at a minimum, have something for no less than 14 days. That's how those two settings were designed to work together. Whether they actually work together in that way, I don't know, because I haven't dug into those, dug into that lately.
I was gonna say, I think you're both right. So, like the minimum interval for recalls, we use that here at C Cornell. I believe it's 21 days. I can't remember, but it'll extend it. And our recall period is 14 days. So if you recall an item that was literally just checked out or checked out in the next day or two, they'll get 21 days. If they're on day 10 of having it checked out, they'll only get 14 days. And then the setting to allow the extension of due dates, if it's already overdue and it's 14 days, it would extend the due date out 14 days.
So I guess the question is, sort of depends which one is a little bit, which one is shorter. In terms of what do you set for someone who's already expired? Like for us, ours is similar to Cornell, except it's 7 and 14. So
Yeah.
you get a recall. If you've had the book, it's due in a week. And if you haven't had the book, it's due in 2 weeks or
Okay.
whatever the date is. Or if you check something out that has like three holds on it in the future, somebody else wants it, you only get it for 14 days. So in our example, I think if someone were expired, I wouldn't want them to get it for 14 days. I just want them to get it for the 7, right?
So I guess the question would be, I mean, I guess the simplest way of thinking about it from my perspective would be follow the rules under request management and ignore the patron's expiration date, right? You would want the request management rules to be the whatever they are, that would be the thing that determines what the due date is, not whether or not the patron has an expiration date. I think the question is if there is anybody who would want things to be set into the past, for whatever reason, then that would require a new setting under request management because you'd have to say ignore patron expiration date or enforce patron expiration date at the moment of recall. But my sense is like whatever your rules are for recalls, however they're set up, I would want them to be applied regardless of whether someone has an expiration date or not.
So does that mean it never looks at the expiration date? I'm trying to think this through, like
Yeah, I mean, I would think
for a
it would, yeah.
recall, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it would. Like if it's not going to allow a different interval for overdue loans, then if it's already overdue, it would do that if it would not. Yeah, I mean, I get there's no perfect solution here, but it is also just practically true that we have plenty of patrons who or at various times will have an expiration date but then ultimately get resolved. In addition to just the fact that taking anything that says, hey, this is due in 2 weeks, and then saying, never mind, it's due 3 months, two weeks ago. 3 months is very unlikely. It would not happen for us because it would all, or everything would have aged lost after 21 days. So, there's a very narrow window of time in which this can happen. But because we're getting expiration dates from university feeds, those expiration dates can absolutely be put into a patron's record already into the past, because if a faculty member leaves the institution for whatever reason, we get the expiration date, essentially from the feed. That feed can be three, it can show up in Folio today, but be 3 weeks ago. That's just how our feeds work.
Marie?
Yeah, just we have had a problem with expiration dates from the start, so we wiped them out. We are not using them anymore because of the truncation, and then no warning. So I don't. I think as you mentioned something about having a setting to respect them or not would actually be a rather nice idea.
I totally agree. Not only with recalls, but yeah, as a basic setting.
David, do you know if there's any tickets existing that have this
Not that I'm aware of. I
documented?
could,
Okay.
yeah, I couldn't find any.
Are you able to write something up?
Not easily. I think they finally got me permissions to create a Jira, but then it had been months since I had actually gone through the how to write a Jira training. So it's a little, I think the answer is I can, but I don't know how long it'll take. But I could do
Okay.
it.
All right. Do you feel like you have the answers that you need to at least get a first draft in there?
Yeah, I think so.
Great. Anything else about that particular recall behavior before we move on to the second one here? All right, close days, due date management for recalls.
If you think the other one was an outlier, I just want to make sure that people are seeing this and are aware of this behavior. So this is a very, very strange thing for us, and it's totally because of fixed due dates. But what we discovered is that, again, because recalls inherit everything from their loan policy, unless there's something explicitly under the request management, that means that they also inherit the closed library due date management. Which means that something can be recalled and it will end up. So, like, you can't have a recall that has a different closed library due date management than the standard loan. And you would think that that would never come up, except that one of our branch libraries is closed on our fixed due date every summer. One out of four due dates because they are part of a department and they're part of a building where the whole building closes. It's out of the library's control. And what that essentially means is if it were not otherwise, all of our fixed due dates would be due regardless of closed library due date management because the fixed due dates are the fixed due dates. They don't matter. They're at the library sort of university level, not at the individual branch level. But if you then recall something and it says ignore that, then you can just have something that's due like during the 2 weeks that were closed entirely for winter break. It just sort of means that we have to set all of our fixed due dates to move to the end of the next open day, even though that's not what we really ever want to have happen, and which then causes further problems for our automatic renewal process because it's not automatic, it's just a SQL query that's looking for anything with a given due date. So there's all of these sort of weird little outliers. Again, this is, I think, probably something that is pretty specific to our local policies and environment. But I just wanted, and so I'm not even sure that I would, count it as rising the level of needing a Jira write-up. But I wanted to just bring it to everybody's attention in case anybody else has a similar kind of circumstance where the standard loan gets one closed library due date management setting, but you would want the recall to behave differently. Again, it's not even for most of our It's not even for most of our loans. It's just this one little branch that's driving me insane for other reasons too. They're also, it's also just like closed library due date management is not working for that library for us. It's ignoring the rule and making things due before the due date instead of after the due date. It's kooky. But yeah, for all of us, nor for all of our settings, normally every single one of our standard loans would be ignore the closed due date entirely because we know when our fixed due dates are and we know they're never we're never going to be closed. Except that if you recall something, it will then, you know, it will take that setting and say, oh, is it in 7 days? Is 7 days December 27th? I don't care. So you have to set your standard loans based on what your recall behavior will be, is the short answer. Even if the standard loan would normally have one setting, whatever you want the setting to be for recalls has to be done at the standard loan level, if that makes sense.
So what is the impact when this happens? It means that a book is due on a day that you're closed?
Yeah. If you don't set it for the standard day. And then for us, because of this weird little branch problem, because that one branch is closed, we can't set the fixed due dates to say ignore the closed due date because that's it's only for that one branch and we don't care. Those things should get a due date of the fixed due date. All ignore the closed due date settings, but we can't do that because recalls. Right. So like it's basically two bugs sort of inter not bugs, but like two behaviors interacting with each other. One is we would really rather fixed due dates ignore closed library management entirely. But we can't because recalls just inherit that setting. So yeah, the thing you have to set it in a way so that recalls don't end up due, you know, during the 2 weeks that you're closed or on Martin Luther King Day or whatever, even when it would actually make sense for the fixed due dates to fall on it, oh, to ignore closed due date management. It's just a cascading thing because then the, you know, then those things at that branch are due on a different day than every other day, than every other fixed loan, which also means they don't get scooped up into the automatic renewal process query. So we basically just have to cheat. I figured out the workaround, which is we lie and we tell Folio that branch is open up until about 2 weeks before they actually are going to be closed, and then we tell it it's closed. So that reserves don't get due on the day that they and they alone are closed, this little library of like 20,000 things. We all know this. We all know this dance. So again, this is less that I even necessarily think this is a particularly high priority problem. I really just wanted to make sure that everybody in this group was just aware of what this behavior currently is so that it could be documented to say, don't forget that when you're setting up your rules, this is what it means. Right, you can't just ignore the closed due date management for your standard loan and expect your recall to behave differently because it won't. There's no separate setting for that.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for the warning. It does sound like it's very much a a nuisance, but not something that is easily fixed without some serious
Well,
re-engineering.
you'd have to put a separate closed library due date management setting under request management just for recalls and holds, and it feels very much like overkill to me. I'm not
I would
advocating
agree.
for that at all. But it's just one of those things of like I never know when somebody else is also going to have the same weird. It seems more like a documentation issue. It just seems like we should have it written down that like bear in mind recalls will inherit the closed library due date management.
I see Lawrence writing it down. Great. Well, thanks for raising that. I do think that that makes sense. It couldn't get included in documentation, just so it's clear how it's going to behave and that it's known that it behaves that way is useful. Any other thoughts or questions for David about these recall behavior issues?
Can I throw in one other just heads up to people that's unrelated to recalls?
Sure thing.
I put this in the Slack, but I don't know how many people saw it. We also discovered that if there is an expired proxy relationship, you can't edit a due date and it doesn't tell you why. It just tells you it fails. I just needed to find time to write it up. But just so you know, it's not like both patrons can be active, but if the ex but if the proxy relationship between them, yeah, it is a bug. It's just a bug. If the proxy relationship between two patrons is expired and the loan was done through the proxy relationship, I think I'm not I can't remember now if it only does it for loans with the proxy relationship or if it just doesn't even look at that. But you just can't change the due date and it won't tell you why. So, just as a heads up.
Seems like it would have to have been initiated by the proxy. Otherwise, why would it even be looking at the proxy, right?
You would expect that. I think that that is the case, but I just have to test it a little bit first.
All right. Any other things before we talk about WolfCon? Okay. So WolfCon, it's coming up. It's a month away. It's a month. This meeting that we're talking about is a month from today. So I hope folks are going to be able to make it to Kansas City. And we have I believe, a 1 hour session scheduled. And we want to think about how best to use that time. It will likely be a hybrid meeting, which is kind of a mixed bag. I will be there in person. Cornelia will be there virtually, and I'm hoping that we can have a space that is actually conducive to a hybrid meeting. It's been a mixed bag. Like, there have been years when it is not a great space for a hybrid meeting, and then there have been better times. If it's set up as a lecture hall with a speaker, it can be really hard to have an effective hybrid meeting. So I will do my best as the person in the room to scope out the space and see if there's a way we can set it up so that people can really participate. I am curious if there are topics that folks are interested in raising in a in an in-person slash hybrid session that may be more conducive to a discussion. Are there things that anyone, and it can be really anything, it could be a meta discussion about how the SIG is working, it can be about a particular topic, about development that we want to see. It could be whatever. Did we have any thoughts, Cornelia? I can't remember when we met, if there was anything we were.
No, certainly not.
We were relying on all of you.
Yeah.
We're creating the structure. We need the idea people.
I already did the presentation last year, so I'm out of ideas.
Right, and I'm presenting on eReserve Plus, but I'm doing that in its own session.
So, maybe when no one has a comment, I will make one, but I don't know how if it's really practical. But when there's talk about the prioritization of tickets, I think to myself it would be really great to have an overview about the folio libraries in action. Like, if everyone could make just a 50-minute survey, like, okiday, we use TIDD library, TIDD library requests, we use holds but not requests, and so a few basic informations that you that we could easily see. I don't know, just 10% of our the libraries in folio use TIDD level requests, so tickets concerning TIDD level requests are not so important. And also, like, just for curiosity reasons, like, it could be I could have fun watch some statistics, some numbers, and what's going on. Then, when you could even repeat this every 2 or 3 years, then you could see how it changed over time and what is the fashion in the library world.
Yeah, I like that, Tobias. That's a good idea. I mean, it's so hard because it's the prioritization is not really, not necessarily a popularity contest. However, you want to prioritize development for features that will impact positively the larger number of libraries, right? It feels like to me, even that and things that are truly kind of broken. But you're right, we don't have the data for that in any meaningful way. And nor do the vast majority of libraries who use Folio actually participate in this group at any level, either whether they're even on the Slack channel or anything. So that is one thing that I think is for the larger community, but and I'm not sure if there's a valuable use of our time in a SIG meeting, whether it's at WolfCon or not, but really thinking through how best to, I don't know if recruit, recruit, coerce, strong arm other libraries to be involved. Yeah, that could be. That's a good idea, Tom. Trying to get figure out what are the best ways to, because I haven't even kept up with all the new libraries. Like, there are lots of libraries that have implemented Folio. Like, I don't know what the number is at this point. Does anyone know where we're at in terms of numbers of individual libraries who use it? It's pretty large. And not everyone is going through vendors, so it's also hard to know all the independent libraries that are using it. I love the idea of a survey, though.
So, if we can think of another idea, creating such a survey, it could be part of the WolfCon meeting.
That's true.
Because
Like,
we can't put it out before WolfCon and to
oh
have it
no.
ready to discuss. Not it. It's not enough time.
Agreed. And I would like, it would be great to have a lot of heads together to think about, like, what are the areas we would want to get data on? Because you want to balance, you don't want it to be a 3-hour survey, and you want to be able to have the data you get back be really meaningful and actionable. And I think that really could feed into the prioritization, which we are going to be, is going to be sort of an iterative process, and we will keep doing it. I like that idea. Other thoughts about that or anything else?
Being semi-related, I was going to suggest that we use the working group to focus on a roadmap for what parts of access services we wanted to focus on over the next year. Like, do we want to spend 4 or 5 meetings and map it out on notices and possibly trying to rework notices and how they work? Do we want to like title level requests? Is there new functionality that anyone sees coming down the road or that they might need? Product too is like the equipment reservations or room reservations. Do we want to dedicate one or two meetings to that?
That sounds good. I do think one thing we related to the, I mean, that's all related to prioritization. The one thing about the kind of quick and dirty prioritization we had to do for the product council was that it required that JIRA tickets be written and ready to go. So we had these very, we had to put these top five that some of them were very specific, like fix this one thing, when they were sort of, it would have been more effective, I think, in the prioritization to say, this is a piece of like, these are, you know, five or six things related to the same piece. Like if we could have had an umbrella ticket that covered all of those little things, it would have made each individual one have a little bit more impact. And so some work on in that regard could be related to this roadmap piece as well. Because I think having, I still don't have a good sense of how tickets are being, or features or individual or like areas of work are being delegated to the existing development resources we have on the project, and how to think through leveraging that, and how do we move the things that we're interested in to the, you know, front of the line, or like even just get anyone advocating for it. It's not really clear to me yet how that process works, because all of the development teams who've been actively working on resource access things have sort of moved on to other areas. And so these individual, like, oh, we'd love to have this bug fixed or this feature added, if there aren't development teams working actively in that area anymore, how do we, or the teams that did the original work are no longer even developing, how do we get that work done?
Let's say there is, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think, well, in general, PCTC and CC are going to be talking about community-driven development, and I think that's going to be a theme over the next year. But as far as circulation and that goes, all the modules are still falling under Vega. There is a few little bit, like some things with notices and that fall under Valeris. The big thing with Vega, though, right now, is that there was a bunch of contractual obligations for LC going live, and there was two new modules that needed to be written for that. So the last two flower cycles were kind of dedicated to that. Yeah. We're hoping, and this is still very much in flux, they're hoping that in U and V that we can deprecate PubSub, which is the communications protocol. And we're trying to pick up some front-end stuff for Dimitri to do. But they should be able to swing back to start cleaning up some of the other stuff. I think the main areas where there's really no dev teams right now, unfortunately, is courses. And I'm trying to think where there's another dev team. There's a few where there's some dev teams that are kind of stretched out, but they have a lot of modules under the belt.
David?
I don't know if this is related, because I don't know how. I've been looking at the CSPs for Ramsons, because we're getting ready to move on to one of them, hopefully in the next few weeks. What is, Tom, do you have a sense of what the sort of stuff with replacing some of the back end parts of how circulation communicates? Is that something that's specific to Library? I mean, I can see that it's driven by Library of Congress, but we haven't really discussed that in these meetings that I've been at. Maybe I just missed some, but there's some discussion about like a fix for something that basically replaces how the various circulation modules even talk to each other on the back end. Is that something that's on your radar? What is going on there? That would be helpful to know.
Sure, no problem. That's PubSub.
Okay, I thought it was related.
It's not Library Congress. And this is when I first started, when I joined the community quite a while ago, there was an issue. So with microservices, you need basically something to communicate changes from one module to another module. You have modules constantly pulling from other ones. And the original system that they put in place was this pub sub system. But I think we've all kind of seen, like in circulation, how kind of unreliable it is. Like pub sub misses messages. That's why you have issues with like a patron block not fully disappearing after they return the items, or the fines has gone through and they have to do that reset, or maybe something that doesn't get dumped on cert log properly. That's because of pub sub. The rest of Folio actually moved on to Kafka and Kafka events, but the circulation modules are still on pub sub. So there's actually quite a few tickets that are related to those communication errors within pub sub itself that moving to Kafka should fix. But there's also issues that Veg is kind of trying to patch until they can do with pub sub communicating with Kafka and memory issues with pub sub itself. So yeah, it's it, the so Folio platform as a whole has moved to Kafka, so it's just Circ trying to catch up to them because we use it a lot. We use those communication pathways a lot more than I think other parts of the system do. Do you
So
think?
that is what the circulation BFF is.
Oh no. Circulation BFF is something completely different.
Okay.
So
What's that?
circulation BFF is, and developers love funky names. circulation BFS was BFS was written specifically for handling the setup, which is Library of Congress.
Okay,
They are
that's the
using,
one.
yes, they're using a very unique setup, ECS setup. So most of the time with an ECS environment, the central tenant isn't used day to day. It is you put stuff in there and all the other tenants refer to it. They are actually using the central tenant quite a bit. So what circulation BFF does is it actually sits above the different tenants and intercepts when you check something in. Instead of it going through the circ modules normally, it goes to circ BFF, and circ BFF looks at where the request is coming from. Is this coming from the central tenant or is this coming from a data tenant? And then it routes it through its appropriate channels. So if it's a data tenant, it might just run something in a data tenant, but if it's a central tenant, it might run something in the central tenant and data tenant. I think kind of long term, the system architects would actually like to replace the current circ module that those endpoints handle with just circ BFF and single tenant and ECS environments. But yeah, circ BFS was pretty much written specifically for the way Library of Congress is set up and the way they use their system.
So I wonder if the pub sub thing, since the BFF, I mean, it says BFF, not BFSF for whatever reason,
BFF.
is relatively unique to Library of Congress and isn't going to have an impact on the rest of us. But talking about pub sub and moving on to Kafka and what the implications of that are on the timeline of that might be part of, that could be a useful part of the conversation, I think, at WolfCon in terms of mapping out. What do we spend the next year on? I think that would be, what are the changes that are already coming that we should be thinking about? What are the areas that we should focus our attention on in the
Right.
coming year? That seems like a good use, kind of a planning meeting.
I would say if they do, if things stay the way they are right now, because we were actually even asked to look at Kafka and see if there might be a better way of implementing it, because we do use it so heavily. So that's the reason why currently PubSub is sent to be deprecated over U and V, which is basically going to be the next two releases for it's going to be the releases for next year. And then you're doing some system hardening and that for the stuff that they wrote for Library of Congress, as well as getting things ready to go out to the public releases. So the mediate request app and secure requests will be released out to the public file releases. So they have to do some fixing and hardening of that before they can send that to TC. So I think for next year for dev cycles for Vega is probably tied up. I don't think it's going to change too much of what can be done. So I would actually suggest, like, for timeline wise, maybe not even worrying about the pub stuff, but work on what you want to have the priorities for past V and refine those ideas and get those collected to possibly pass on to Vega.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we have some good ideas. Thank you, everyone. We are right at 12 o'clock and we are losing folks. So we will talk about this a little bit more to get clear on what we'll discuss at that meeting. Hope folks are going to be able to be there. In the meantime, we will see folks hopefully next Thursday to talk more about the Volaris tickets. All right. I hope everyone has a great week and we will talk to you soon.
You too.
Take care. Have a great day. Bye.